Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to The Cosmic Switchboard Show. In the first segment, you heard our very special guest, Harold Kotz-Vella, talk about Morgellons, fruiting bodies, attached entities associated with Morgellons, and a number of other issues. And we're just getting started. So, Harold Kotz-Vella, welcome back to The Cosmic Switchboard Show. During the break, we talked about some of the topics you wanted to address in this second segment. And a key topic which you want to discuss has to do with Atlantis and how so much of what we see today, this trend towards, you know, all things anti-human, nihilism, etc., extreme narcissism, so much of it tracks back to prior to, during, and after the fall of Atlantis. Did you want to elaborate on that?
Yes, of course. It's going back to the downing of Atlantis, and we do have, let's say, a lot of weak sources that are painting kind of the same picture. Mainly, it's people who have former life memories, who have pictures of these last minutes of civilization on our planet and report on related incidents and things. I cannot say that this is historic research. We do all the historic things we have kind of fit in into the picture, but you have to label things correctly. So this is basically just a patchwork of former life memories put together to a story. So what apparently happened is that about till 25,500 years ago, we had a split planet with two different civilizations, one known as Atlantis, that was actually on the religious basis already Archon infested and Archon inspired. And what people say is that most of the humans incarnating there actually were guest souls from planets who already self-destructed. So they lost their civilizations, and on soul level they got the permit to reincarnate on Earth, but they already had like traumatized previous lives, so the culture was much more vulnerable to restaging of trauma, to archonic influence. And they had built like a high-tech culture based on crystal technologies. The main artifacts we still have from that time are the arks, the Ark of the Covenant. There's an Irish Ark of the Covenant. There was the Ark of Gabriel found in Saudi Arabia, I think 1 or 2 years ago, deployed by Russia to the Antarctic bases. So these are basically crystal technologies that are connecting technology with consciousness fields. So this is one part. The other part is that we had the Lemurian cultures that were Earth-based with Earth humans, which means souls that had their first incarnations on this planet. And they had a culture that was very in one piece, very holy, in the best sense of the word. And they were not vulnerable at that time to archonic consciousness and influence. They had like everything in order in the way it should have been. And the story that developed was that actually the Atlantean high priests wanted to go to war with Lemuria to conquer it, but it was so peaceful that they couldn't do it with their own people, because nobody is just attacking a defenseless country. So there was an intrigue to weaponize Lemuria. That is one part of the story. So this is actually the story of Adam and Eve. Let's take Adam as the king of Lemuria, Sophia as the queen of Lemuria, and then the Atlantean high priests decided to create an artificial being called Eve that should be the perfect sexual match for Adam. and went into a story of, okay, let's tell him that with all the presence of Atlantean troops in the Lemurian capital, there's a danger of war, and it would be a better thing to, on one hand, make an alliance with Atlantis by a marriage to a second wife, Eve, and also weaponize Lemuria to be able to defend yourself against the forces in Atlantis that want war. So they did two things in one and the same go. One was weaponizing Lemuria, and the other one was basically displacing Sophia, the original best match of Adam, and replacing it by a black magic honey trap that was influencing him in the wrong way afterwards. So that is one part of the story, which is actually the fall of Adam into the under the Archonic influence. This is what is described as the story of Adam and Eve in the Paradise Garden with a snake coming in. And also in the Greek mythology, you actually have the same history with opening the box of the Pandora. Also, you have like the artificial wife created for the important human and replacing his original wife. And it's all about deciding whether you want to go the way of technology or the way of spirituality. It's the same myth observed from a different angle. Just in Pandora's story, it involves the box. Now, if you look at the boxes, the biblical box and the Greek one are actually the same. If you look just on the description of the outer casing, you've got this acacia wood box with gold plating of defined sizes. And if you compare the Greek mythology and the Hebrew mythology, they have the same type of building with exactly the same length, height, and width. Also, the inner measures of the sarcophag in the big pyramid in Gizeh has the same sizes. So you can slowly kind of take all these mythologies that you have around, entangling them in a new way. And the story you get actually then is that one of these Atlantean devices, crystalline technology, a quartz crystal, if you look at it from the side, it looks like a Star of David, was placed in a copy of Atlantean pyramids. Build up erected in Egypt was placed in the main chamber. And on top of that pyramid, you had the capstone, which, according to Arabic tradition, was of a material that was shining blue on certain days. This is exactly what alien black goo does. So, this is kind of, I hope you can keep that all in mind. This is part of the story. Another part of the story is those five head high priests of Atlantis being tempted or directed to open a portal. To open a portal above Atlantis, knowing exactly the risk of destroying the continent, but it was kind of on behalf of their Archon masters, so they did it. And by opening the portal, they destroyed Atlantis and much of the Lemuric Islands in the Pacific as well. And through the portal, there was coming in a meteorite shower. And these meteorites can be found all over the planet. They basically consist of a black oil stone. And if you extract the oil inside the stone, what you get is this alien type of black goo that carries a living consciousness that is completely mental in the full meaning of the, or in both full meanings of the word. So as an overall story, you have like an already infested Atlantean culture trying to go to war with the Lemuria, introducing alien black goo, which is actually the substance carrying the spirit or the mental field of Satan or their master, their Archonic master, infecting the rest of the world with their secondary planetary consciousness to understand black goo is black goo. It's a neutral term describing the liquid hosting a planetary spirit. Earth type black goo is the seat of the soul of Gaia. Normally, each planet should have one soul. But like with the humans, when a human dies and he's not willing or not able to go into whatever he's meant to go into to reincarnate, then he might live on for a while as an attaching spirit, taking over the bodies of other people. This happens on human level, and it as well happens on planetary level. If a planet self-destroys because the species living there goes completely gaga, then the spirit of the planet might go back to source and reincarnate into a newborn planetary system. Or it might decide, oh no, the trauma is so bad, I don't want to go through that process of integrating my experience. So I'd rather try to survive on the material plane. And once my planet is gone, I'll take over other planets. This is what happens on planetary level as well. So the seat of the consciousness is the black goo. And in a natural planetary system, the memory, the both 3D physical background and memory, or main line of reality is hosted in, or what you call a matrix, is hosted on crystalline memory. You can imagine if in a planet you've got growing crystals from fluids or out of lava, every layer of crystal that is built up basically in the moment of freezing stores the momentary consciousness field that was around him. So the building up of layers is like writing a text of history. So the entire memory of physics is stored in crystals. And this is basically what was here from the former places the satanic consciousness lived was crystalline memory of trauma and self-destruction. This is the content of the box of the Pandora. This is also the content of the Star of David crystal in the Ark of the Covenant. I cannot exactly say when what came to Earth. I know the Atlantean culture was already based on pyramids containing these crystals, so they must have been here much earlier than the main parts of the black goo came in. Possible they had also from that black goo in smaller portions before, because the Atlantean pyramids also are told to have had these black goo capstones as a technology. If you mount the crystalline memory of the Star of David crystal and the black goo top of a pyramid in this geometry of a pyramid, you actually mount a quantum computer that can fully act as a planetary consciousness, because you mount thinking abilities with memory, join them together. This is kind of the pyramid technology, how it works. Having the star in the king's chamber and the little capstone pyramid of black goo, bringing them into a resonant body in a pyramid form. And this is basically how a demiurge, this is from the tradition, a non-incarnated planetary spirit is a demiurge. This is how it's called as an abstract name. So the demiurge Satan managed to move himself, including his black goo and his crystalline memory, onto our planet. And he started his own reality here, which we call today Matrix. Or let's say we have two different matrices. We have the matrix built up by Gaia that we should be supposed to live in. But then we have a secondary matrix set up by the building of pyramids, first in the Atlantean culture. And then after Atlantis went down, we've got the later pyramids like of Gizeh type. And on the British islands, they didn't build pyramids. They tried to reestablish this technology with the stone circles. With these artifacts to Great Britain and Egypt was the reviving of the Arconic influence after basically this demiurge went through the first cycle of self-destruction. It's not to really get what this is. You have to understand what evil is. If a human goes through trauma, he is losing parts of his memory, consciousness, soul structure into the subconscious. So this is what a trauma is. You experience something that is too painful to keep within yourself. So this part of the self that carries the trauma is extracted, goes into subconsciousness. And to regain access to this, we've got this healing mechanism called restaging. So we have the subconscious impulse to repeat the traumatic situation or bring ourselves again into a similar traumatic situation to be able to reconnect to the lost part of ourselves and heal the trauma by doing that. This is kind of a natural mechanism. The thing is, if this goes too deep and everything except of the mental field is traumatized and lost, then it's like not a healing mechanism anymore. It goes into a downward spiral that is just accumulating more and more and more and more trauma by trying to restage things. But there's nobody home still to do the learning part and to do the reintegration part. And this is basically the faith of Satan as a planet of this demiurge. He lost his planet and then he went to the next planet. His subconsciousness led him to the idea that restaging the history of self-destruction would bring some healing. But all he does is restaging the history of self-destruction, adding more trauma, getting even further away from any possibility to heal. So he's just a lost demiurge, a lost planetary soul. And you can read this out of the mythologies. For example, the Egyptian mythology is associating the consciousness in the capstone of the pyramid to the phoenix of the mythology, or the phoenix that recreates himself out of ash. So, yes, Atlantis went down in fire, and the consciousness recreated itself within the Egyptian culture out of the ash of Atlantis. This is the core myth in the Egyptian mythology. And the thing is that our collective memory basically roots back to Stone Age. So we don't have any access to the previous cycles, what type of influence these devices in the pyramid had on humanity. Problems and solutions came to us that looked like something brilliant, but actually they are detrimental and just led to the new problems in the downward spiral. And when you look at the Hebrew history with the Ark, actually it was not from Mount Sinai, it was stolen from the Big Pyramid in Gizeh. If you look at the original myth, he goes to the top, he talks on the top of the mountain, he talks to Yahweh, and then Yahweh tells him, go down by one third. This is exactly where the entrance to the king's chamber is. Go into the cave and take out the artifacts you find. And then he takes out something with two stone plates, and this is just a bad translation. It's a twin crystal. If you go to the original language, it translates much more to a twin crystal than to two plates, and not with engravings, like with a chisel into stone, but with engraved information, like implemented information. So it's the same with the box of the Pandora, that's like a ceramic vessel. Something out of stone to contain things. It goes by mistranslations, mainly the fog around the myth. So Moses took those devices out of the pyramid, flee one with his people from Egypt into the direction of Palestine. And then there's something about the Ten Commandments engraved in this. So the first thing we can understand is how does the human mind interact with this technology? The thing Moses brought to his people at the same time was the language, the Hebrew language. Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet is a fraction of the Star of David, or the two-dimensional representation of this crystalline device. So when you read, when you're taught to read for the first time, your eye nerve is delivering an optical symbol, a geometric symbol, that on one hand is in your spirit as a visual representation of the twin crystal, or of an part of the twin crystal. And at the same time, it's producing, by learning to read, it's producing a sound in your brain. So what it does, it builds a quantum entanglement between a certain part of your brain where the eye nerve goes in, which is very, very close to the third eye, to the pineal gland. At the same time, so you get kind of the visual representation of the crystal into your mind, associating it with sounds created by your eye nerve, which is completely unnatural. Normally, sounds should be created around your ear or in your chest. So it's either associated to the heart when you speak, or to your ears when you listen, but it shouldn't be in the forehead. So basically, you create a voice in the forehead that is quantum entangled by a synchronization of sounds and symbols to the consciousness in the Star of David shaped crystal. So basically, you create a language that is creating, it's not a demon, it's kind of a split fraction of your brain we today call ego, that is quantum entangled to Satan, and that has the ability basically to fully be read and interconnect with a consciousness, with a basically matrix emitted by the pyramid, or by the devices forming the pyramid. That is one part. Now we can understand how the programming of this ego, or this brain split, works. If you go into the Hebrew language, the original saying, and it's still common in modern Hebrew, if you tell somebody don't kill, it would mean al tirzach, halt before you murder. Al and halt is the same origin of original language. It's the gesture of hold in, stop before you do something. Because in original language, there is no negation. The only thing that original language has, if you want to express the opposite of something, you turn around the order of letters. So if halt, al, is stop, and you want to express the opposite, you would turn it into lo instead of al. This is Hebrew writing logic. So the Ten Commandments don't state al tirzach, they state lo tirzach, which means on subconscious quantum level, go on when you feel the impulse to murder, do it.
Yikes.
While the brain is perceiving the new formed word, the new formed logical negation, which works as part of the mental, because it's binary. In a binary system, you can negate things. It does work. It does create some logic. But on heart level, it never creates logic to invert things, to negate things. So you get a double bind into the system when reading the commandment. So it goes like on mental plane, don't kill. On heart consciousness, subconscious, go killing if you have the impulse. At the same time, the commandment is implementing the idea of killing. So you get the picture, which automatically, and this is throwing you into a problem on political level. It had been solved that actually every tribe in that area was running around with its own star representation. This is known. All the tribes had their arks and their boxes carried around, and the Star of David was basically the core of officially acknowledged black magic tribe religions in that area, all into blood and fire sacrifice. The only one that made it to a world religion was the Jewish one, so it was declared to be holy at a certain point, but the origin is the same. So the solution is, if I feel the intent to kill, and I'm not to kill my brother, mother, father, daughter, neighbor, I just have to listen to the voice of my God, who says, "Oh, go kill the entire neighboring tribe, including all the animals." And then I get this valve to release the pressure of the subconsciousness and to restage destruction, where the entity behind the entire trick just has this subconscious impulse to lead people into self-destruction because he tries to learn and understand what happened to him. This is still kind of a healthy impulse, but it's just over the top. It's in a state where it doesn't get productive anymore. And this is what we today know as moral or ethics. It's like we've got these Ten Commandments trying to keep us from doing things we know are not nice to do. But by keeping it in the mental field, the entire consciousness, the heart consciousness, is programmed basically to restage exactly the thing we try to prevent. And this is why basically when we there are two possibilities. Either we do it, we do restage. This is what we do when we go to war, when we do bad things to others, then we do restage these things. And if we don't, we do it by creating more unconsciousness. Because, oh, there's something in me that wants to kill. This is evil. I have to disconnect from that part of myself. This is the natural motion pattern that is left over when we basically are somehow still connected to the feeling that doing this is wrong. So we don't want to do it. But if it's within ourselves, we don't want to recognize that there's something evil in us. So we don't go there with our feeling. And this is exactly the motion pattern that creates more unconscious parts that is driving us more and more and more into unconsciousness. And the more unconscious you get, the more restaging your spirit demands to heal that. So this is kind of the being pulled into the downward spiral of this demiurge that tries to solve his karma over infecting us with his consciousness. Where we join in, but all we did till now was basically joining into the downward spiral. And all the mechanisms were set that way, it's tempting to go there. The only thing you can do is, if you're fully conscious about the mechanism, is to say, "Ah, I feel this nasty impulse to do something really bad. I don't like this within me. Let's put all my attention onto the source of this evil impulse, to shed light on it, to bring it into full consciousness. I'm scared of that impulse within me. There's something evil within me." So you don't blend it out. You just put all your intention and all your focus and all your attention onto that unholy spot to fully make it conscious again, to fully reintegrate it into your consciousness. And this is the action that brings healing. But nobody in the church is telling you to do that, or in the other world religions. If you just go on, "Oh, if you're evil, I will punish you, and this is why it's better you don't feel that you're evil." So they basically process the trick behind it more than the opportunity to do some healing on yourself. That's kind of the first big trick that was played on humanity with the implementation of these world religions, implementing a mechanism that is creating unconsciousness and bringing us away from ourselves, and at the same time, by creating this lingual processing point at the eye nerve, that is very much identified with the pineal gland. Also, the pyramid is showing the symbol, so the eye of the Horus, the crosscut of the pineal gland in the tip of the pyramid. This is the second direction of quantum entanglement in this technology. It's not only the crystal in the eye nerve, but it's also the pineal gland as a symbol in the pyramid in the displays. So this is kind of how it's entangled. From there, basically, it was the first step into having this ego-based or this eye nerve-based processing of reality we learned to identify with as our ego, that was also pulling away the focus from the heart and from the holistic consciousness of our being that can be found actually heart-centered in the middle of our body, not in the brain. And it's complex, so it's you can't really dissolve it from one end only. You have to realize that the thing thinking in your forehead is not you. It's completely programmable. It's completely aligned with the satanic consciousness. It gives this entity the possibility to read your thoughts to the last digit, and to actually the way it is designed to program your mind-based will as it likes. Yeah, so what we perceive as a mind-based free will is actually the will of the satanic realm. And we think, yes, it's us. We are free. Yeah, this is where this appreciation of the trap comes in. It's all sold to us as a major achievement of humanity to have a free will. The first one was disconnecting us from our planet by opening a box of the Pandora, introducing so much trauma into the biosphere that we disconnected from the planet. So our systems jump to okay, security program. We don't know anymore what is herd instinct we should have, so we switch to free will that is stomach-based, kind of handing over the decision-making to the next chakra. So we have a will in the stomach or in the solar plexus that is already sick in a way because it's replacing the connection to the planetary consciousness. And then on the other end of our chakras, it's basically disconnecting from the divine and replacing this higher knowledge of good and evil, of true and untrue, with the ego-based thinking that is nothing else than a little malware positioned there by the Ten Commandments to give us the illusion of having a mental free will while we are programmed. It's extremely clever. It's, yeah, the first step to the biorobot, just on the natural field level of our bioenergetic system. There's not even transhumanism involved yet.
Nowadays in America and increasingly all over the so-called Western world, Harold, we have this common core curricula starting in the elementary schools, and then overlaid on top of that is the cultural Marxism, the sexualization of children, the basically brainwashing, operant conditioning of children, and then going on to the later years of so-called schooling. There's just more and more cultural Marxism, more and more brainwashing. They're really divesting these kids of the ability to critically think and keep them really embedded in their ego state of being, highly emotionally driven, highly emotionally wrought, just ripe for the plucking and easy to manipulate by the string pullers.
Yeah, I'm not really in, I don't really know what in American school, what happens in American schools. I just had the European schooling system and I saw how it changed under the directive of the CIA over the last 15, 20 years, going from learning to understand things to learning crap by heart, with a complete overload of information in the brain and zero thinking abilities and education to self-responsibility to a defined degree so that you're just able to manage the profession you're chosen for. This is kind of the directive they gave out in the late 60s by CIA that is applied worldwide now, to basically create humans and sort humans in a way that every single person meets the needs of his profession, will never ever be able to think beyond that or get more creative than the stupid things he's supposed to do all his lifetime. So this is the social engineering part of the biorobot idea. Keep people away from getting creative, questioning things. Yeah, school is prison. The bell you have is Pavlov.
No doubt.
You know, Pavlov, the first experiment with a dog where you basically train fixed reactions. So the bell in the school says, now you're free, now you're a slave, now you're free, now you're a slave. Now you're free 13 times a day. Yeah. And this for 13 years. At the end of this torture, which is complete torture because everybody should be free 24/7 to develop the way he likes to. And at the end of the day, it's completely normal to go to work for a company and have your card you stick into the slot in the morning that tells you, now you're a slave. And when you go out, back home, you put your card in again. It's not the bell, it's just a card, but it doesn't matter. What matters is the mechanism that tells you that you're a slave part of your lifetime, which is not our natural state at all. And this is social engineering at its best. Every parent that sends his child to school should be aware that he sends his child to a torture facility, being there only to mess with the life of his child. And this is self-responsibility, knowing that and then taking action. This is why knowing is so inconvenient, because you don't match into this world anymore.
It's very much an artificial environment, a matrix reality.
Yeah, the good thing about reality is that no one of us is realist. So whoever has a heart to listen and stay with himself can make the decision for himself to free himself from all these mechanisms. It's a bit of work. It takes time. It takes self-love. It takes a lot of things, but it's possible. Starting from cleansing your own body from all the shit you had before, going to some self-discipline in thinking, deprogramming yourself, and taking responsibilities for all the things you handle from morning till evening, which means never ever give your money to evil people by trading with them. Don't buy the stupid whatever. I don't want to start a legal case because I name company names, but whatever has a cube inside its logo is demonic. Because this is the core symbol of this mess. Yeah, so if you start checking all the companies into artificial intelligence, you won't find a single one without a stupid cube. Yeah, so if you give your money, which is our main form of attention at the moment, to these companies by buying their newest devices, you give your energy to them, and they grow, of course. And at the same time, you get the Trojan horse into your hand that is messing with your biology. Yeah? And I see most of the men carrying their mobile phones in the pockets of their trousers, just 5 centimeters from their balls, reducing testosterone by 70%, turning them into women, yeah, and reducing fertility to I don't know what percentage left. Because they want to extinct most of humanity and microwave it in their weapon. Yeah? And if anyone willingly spends his money to buy their devices, which are by definition of NASA, civil technology, weapons, microwave weapons presented as civil technologies, if somebody is buying out of free will one of their weapons to place it next to his balls, I don't know what to say, you know. Free choice. I wouldn't do so if I were you. I don't do so. I mean, I do have a mobile phone, I have to admit, but I always run on the oldest model available and still working. And I keep it way far away from my balls. And I use it only if necessary. If somebody calls, I just check who was it. And then I get into a position where I don't get radiated when calling. And I call him back. Yeah, so it is possible to avoid or yes. Whatever you do to yourself is reaching yourself. It's nobody else is the villain in this game. The things already have been solved on collective level. If you have access to the astral realms, or everyone or most of the people with true access to the astral realms know that this demiurge is out of game since July last year. So there's not even a bad intention left in our biosphere. We all run on bad habits, that's it, for the moment. Things have been sorted out, have been solved. The divine sphere is in full action to save our ass as good and as productive as possible, leaving as much learning opportunities to the single individuals while getting out of this shit. So there's no reason for pessimistic approaches to our future. It's just that we have to realize that this demiurge consciousness is still echoing in our systems. And we really live on extremely bad habits that are bad enough to go down that path of self-destruction, to turn ourselves into something Satan-like as the collective. And if we would be allowed to do that to our planet, the story would continue even without the core villain, that demiurge, being present. Yeah, then we would do this transhumanistic development, and we would have Ray Kurzweil getting his vision into reality, that he wants to send all his nanobots into space to attack other planets to harvest more energy and matter. This is what he openly states, and we follow these people. He's development head of development at Google at the moment. He founded the Singularity University in Silicon Valley. Three neighboring buildings, NASA, Singularity University, and Google headquarters. If somebody wants to drop a nuke, please drop it there. Dropping nukes is not a solution at all, but we have to realize that these people are not our friends, that they want to go out down a path of self-destruction because they completely lost connection to their soul. So it's just the demiurge echo in their mental systems that is self-propagating in a downward spiral. And we have to remove them from power, not by fighting them, just by taking our own responsibility into our own hands. And then they will be left in an empty space where they can do no harm. They can do harm because we hand over our responsibility to them. And this includes those companies by economics, by buying and using their devices. And this includes all hierarchical structure on this planet, which is a complete archonic system of displacing responsibility. It's madness, it's sheer madness. To go to vote, to have somebody else decide for my life is sheer madness. No healthy being in the entire universe would go down that path. We're just in heavy fog doing so. And it's not about fighting the recent government to replace it by a better one, because whenever you build a hierarchy, you will invite those monsters to the top of it. Because no healthy being wants to control others. Only sick people want to control others. So if you build a hierarchy, you always invite the sick people to rule the entire business. It's systemic. You can't avoid this effect. The only opportunities when something like this is not working out, if for example, you look to Syria, the president of Syria, Assad, He's an eye doctor. He hates politics. He doesn't want to be president. His stupid older brother fucked up and he was pushed into responsibility. And this is why he, as a single person, has the ability to hold back the armies of Satan marching throughout the world in this little country. We should kiss his feet for that. And this is because he was not longing to be there. He was pushed into the position because his older brother, that was president, died in a car accident, as far as I remember. So he had to take over. And he's not into power. This is why he is clear, why he's not vulnerable to fear mongering. He is in full responsibility.
Indeed, they turned loose a horde of evil, medieval jihadists in Syria.
And it's just decided to start, or the West decided to start this army of satanic entities destroying the world in Syria. And luckily, the first country they gave a real try to, no, Iraq was before. They did it in Iraq, and Iraq got destroyed. And the second country to be infected by this was meant to be Syria, and they resist. They resist, and it drives me to tears when you tune into this energy, how they resist, sacrificing their own sons for the sake of the planet. And it is the Western world that is sending those armies there. There is no local resistance to the Assad regime. This is all fairy tales. It's like hundreds of thousands of mad mercenaries who went through MK Ultra super soldier programming in Abu Ghraib, American prison in Iraq, and Guantanamo in the United States, not United States, but on Cuba, went through MK Ultra programming to be turned into demonic slaughtering machines. This is the political responsibility of the West, of the United States of America, of Israel, that is partly running this show, of Great Britain, of France, of Germany, delivering the nerve gas for the fake attacks that then are sold as Assad's cruelty. But it's all the mercenary armies doing that. By the f I'm not supposed to swear, by the white helmets, with your beautiful Clooney, who every American woman wants to jump in bed with.
George Clooney had an accident recently. He was riding a motor scooter somewhere in Italy, somewhere.
Yeah, did he die?
Unfortunately, no, he's still financing the White Helmets.
And what the white helmets do is organ harvesting for international trade. This is what they're into. And this is us. It's not the Arab world tearing itself apart. This is us slaughtering them. And you should get that on the streets in the United States, that you are the major organizer and initiator of satanic slaughtering armies destroying this planet. Yeah? Instead, you go to your mainstream media and let yourself being convinced that he's a villain and the Arabs are stupid and you have to save them. Yeah? By financing the legal opposition, which doesn't even exist. I mean, look at the degree of stupidity the mass psychology is riding into. Although the valid information is there, just get used to spend a minute more to get first-hand information on the internet. And stop listening to the mass media who produce kind of brainwashing soap. To manipulate you into drama triangle thinking, that you have to save somebody. No, you're the villain. Just stop doing it and the game is over. Stop doing it by not giving your authority to your government anymore. Not sending your children to their armies. Not being so greedy that you get to a degree of earning where you have to pay tax for them. I can't do that anymore. I can't earn more than the minimum wage, because I know when I do so, I will have to finance their terror, and I can't do that. It's impossible. I would die from puking before handing over money to them. Yeah, and this is responsibility. Means being fully aware of what is done on your behalf and taking full responsibility for all the things done on your behalf. And everybody can do that. It's inconvenient, yes, because convenience is that spiral to hell.
The comfort zone is a danger zone.
It's the famous boiling of the frog, that comfort zone, you know?
It always starts with the first circle. We have to be accountable to ourselves before we can even think about being accountable to others or wanting to help others. There's just so many unaccountable people in this field.
It's very simple. Be the change you want to see in the world.
Well, we've had a fascinating segment, two segments with the Herald. Thank you so much for coming on to the show, and we'd really like you to come back again sometime.
And sorry for swearing once. I hope you don't get into legal trouble because of that.
That's quite all right, Herald. You should have heard me bitching and moaning earlier when we were having all those technical issues and I was holding the mute button down.
It's a pleasure beyond the decision.
Thanks again, Harold, and to our dear listeners out there, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.